Hello and welcome to another episode of the Transportation Exchange podcast presented by Rush Truck Sands of Canada. I'm your host, Jason Cuddy, and on today's episode, we're excited to welcome Amrit Ajula from TAG Logistics Corporation. Amrit, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jason.
So this is a different sort of category for me to, you know, be talking about. It's not really my wheelhouse, but it's definitely extremely important in our industry of what you guys do. So we're going to dig into what TAG Logistics Corporation does in the industry. But first, let's get to know about you. How did you get involved in the industry?
Okay, so that's a good question. My father had a fleet of around 10 trucks growing up, and I'd always, he'd take me along on the weekend to like see the truck. So I kind of got into it in that way. My first job was a shipper receiver at a Freightliner in Mississauga, and that was to get my foot in the door. And after that, I just progressed up. I started doing part sales, truck sales, a Class 8 truck sales, and now I'm a recruiter.
Nice. That's cool. So yeah, so you're familiar with what I do,
yeah, true,
which is good. Yeah. So that's excellent. So with regards to TAG, maybe give us a little bit of background and kind of history of you know, how they got into the industry, what they do.
Okay, so TAG Logistics Corp is a private company. The owner's name is John Cooper. And how he got into it is he used to work in a warehouse at NorTel Telecom. So this is years ago. And they shut his division down and he had a few contacts and he was really good with people. So he started his own agency and progressed, added, first it was just warehouse workers. He progressed into forklift and Class 8 truck drivers. And like we try to be all in one for our customers. If they need a dispatcher, we'll help them with that.
Gotcha. Excellent. So right now, so yeah, from services you provide, obviously the core, I guess, is the driver piece, right? And I guess Western Canada is the biggest presence you currently have?
Yeah, so that's a good point. Out over in Alberta, we have two locations, and there we're 400 drivers plus, so very busy.
Wild. And how about in Ontario so far?
Here we're trying to grow the business. We're only 100 drivers.
Gotcha. So yeah, and it's, I guess biggest challenge in this market as everyone's facing is drivers.
Yeah,
so
good drivers.
How are you guys currently kind of finding, or where are you kind of shopping to find drivers from?
So we advertise a lot, I'd say. Everywhere on newspapers, we still do print newspapers, Indeed, LinkedIn, Facebook, Kijiji. And on top of that, we have our own database. So from day one, we've been collecting drivers' names and phone numbers. And then often we get a call from a driver that worked for us, like say 10 years when he wants to rejoin, which is a compliment to us, right? Because we treated him well, we paid him on time. So those kind of drivers we'll just quickly onboard because we can vouch for them.
Gotcha. And then with regards to, you know, I guess vetting drivers, what kind of driver are you looking for? What are you guys looking for in it?
We like to look for someone, like in the interview, we like to look for someone who would remain with us for a long term, right? I know in this day and age, guys like to jump for an extra $2 an hour, but we really want to bring someone on that can grow with us, right? And one way we do that is annual increases. So all of our drivers get annual increases. And I think we try to pay right in the market or above market.
Gotcha. And it's probably an interesting part because, you know, if a company has drivers, they got to obviously recruit them. They've got to bring them on board. Whatever compensation package they have, you know, how they pay hourly, salary, some are doing that, you know, or by the mile. Mm-hmm. But you guys are a little bit different. You provide all that obviously for the driver as being a company, you know, benefits and all that. And then the customer, your customer is basically just paying you for the whole package. So
yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Yeah. The drivers are employee and then we bill the fleet after say 30 days.
Gotcha. Interesting. So market wise, you know, obviously, we've seen costs go up, especially for owner-operators, right? You've, you know, fuel has doubled the last little bit. You know, equipment is not cheap anymore. It keeps climbing. Has there been any differences that you see just in the marketplace pre and post-COVID regards, you know, to wages in general?
Yeah, so that's a good point. Wages, in my opinion, they've finally come up. Like, if you talk about hourly, they've come up $2.
Okay.
It's been due, right? Like, let's be honest. Trucking's not an easy job. These guys are stuck in gridlock and they deserve it, right? They're on the road a lot. They're away from their family. And I still think there's more to go. Traditionally, truck drivers have always been a blue-collar job.
True. I mean, that's kind of the way it's always been looked at. But, you know, clearly it's a skilled profession, you know?
Exactly.
So, and they should be, you know, paid accordingly. So
exactly.
I think with you guys, if you're, you know, if a company is looking to work and find drivers, I mean, that's a challenge in itself, right? So again, kind of outsourcing, you know, when we do vehicle leasing, outsourcing leasing, they can outsource their driver pool to you. And it's one less thing for them to worry about, and they get a properly vetted driver too, right?
That's right.
Yeah. You know, so you've done all the heavy lifting as far as the guys who don't meet your criteria,
yeah,
right? So
for,
guys,
for sure.
So you know, when you get So what would be, as far as integrating drivers into your business, you know, what do you see different as far as driver coming to work for you who eventually in theory is working for someone else, you know, versus if they went to a company directly, kind of what's the value prop or what's the ideal part
so
for the driver?
We actually pay the same as the fleet. Okay. So if they're employed for the fleet, it's the same. If they're employed for us, it's the same. One good thing about us is like that rapport we rebuild, build with them during the interview stages. Like all of our recruiters are really like, they listen to the driver, they answer all their questions, and they'll actually draw out their pay package exactly. Like okay. Other companies would just say, yeah, you'll make 100K a year, but yeah, where do you get that number from, right?
Right.
We'll actually tell them everyone, like, sorry, we'll tell them exactly what their pay is going to be, if there's a deduction, how often they're paid, right? Because that's what the driver wants to know, right? What's my take home at the end of the day?
Yeah, like for like wage certainty, right? So mm-hmm. they can obviously plan their life accordingly.
Exactly.
And by what you guys do, it's obviously, you know, a bit more cut and dry than mm-hmm. if you're, you know, kind of venturing out from place to place. So, mm-hmm. and obviously, you know, their wage is kind of irregardless of who the customer they're working for, right? So they mm-hmm. don't have to shop themselves to different places. You
exactly.
will do that for
yeah,
them.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll put them in the best box.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's good. And it, you know, is it mainly local delivery? Is it long haul? What's the kind of, where do you guys play with regards to your customers? Like what kind of customers, you know, are looking at you for this type of
service? So we've got a few different customers. We have line haul customers, local, reefer customers. We've got a few different customers. But I want to go back to what we were talking about earlier.
Sure.
When someone comes on with us, they're not married to a fleet. So they come okay. on and say, they don't like, things happen, right? Sometimes they don't mesh with the manager. So we can just simply place them into another company and refill that seat, right?
Gotcha.
So I kind of feel like there's a good synergy between us, the fleet managers, the drivers, and...
Yeah. Yeah, so you can use your pool. So if it doesn't gel with one guy, you can kind of move into a different role and backfill with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Your customer isn't impacted as yeah. far as, you know, not having a driver, and, you know, your driver's still happy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And another good thing is we never pay severance, right? Because gotcha. If it doesn't work out, like, for example, after 3 months, we're going to just place him elsewhere, right? So that's another cost-saving things, because if the company onboards them direct, there's all these other costs and blah, blah, blah. But with us, we know the industry so well. We know what our customers want. They won't say direct, like, oh, he needs to be 6 feet. And
right.
we just know from their driver pool what their culture is.
Gotcha. Well, that's a good point. I was thinking of that. Like, so understanding what your customer is looking for in a driver, right? Because fair enough, you know, it could be a pickup and delivery guy has to hand bomb,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Versus just backing into a dock.
Yeah.
You need to know that. You need to understand if the driver will do it.
Exactly.
Right? So, yeah, so I guess understanding what your customers do on a day-to-day basis is key. And probably from your end, finding customers that also kind of meet your driver kind of criteria, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to get mm-hmm. pull a customer who yeah. you don't have drivers that'll ever do what they want them to do kind of thing.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You mentioned hand bombing. That's usually the first question I get. Do I have to lift anything? Is there any hand bombing?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it can be tricky for sure. But I mean, that's reality. At some point, product has to come off, right? And there are lots of roles, especially between pickup delivery or, you know, local delivery, where there is no forklift, there's no mm-hmm. there's no dock, right? It's yeah. got to be delivered one way or another. So, you know, you guys are in Western Canada and you're obviously, you know, here in Ontario. Do you find any difference between the two markets, you know, whether it's hiring or even finding customers?
So the biggest difference is pay, like flat out. Like in our Western locations, their minimum pay, the drivers are taking home 80K minimum.
Gotcha.
Here it's significantly less.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's the oil money there or if it's the cost of living, but it's like the rates are like day and night different.
Right. Fair enough. And how about finding drivers? Is it, because I mean, we keep seeing, you know, in the press about, you know, driver shortage. And I think it's clearly there, right? Mm-hmm. You're getting generational changes and it's not backfilling as quickly as we need it to do. Mm-hmm, do you mm-hmm. see anything geographically different in there? Or that's, you know,
well, Alberta's different because there we have a really aggressive immigration program. So we're bringing in drivers from all over Europe.
Okay.
Because the Canadian government, we work closely with them, and they're concerned that all the immigrants are coming here to like Mississauga, Toronto, Brampton.
Right.
So then they want to space everyone out. So they've given us the okay to like vet people, onboard them. We help them with their home.
Okay.
We keep them employed for a long time. So then that's that's why, to be honest, there's so many more drivers. There's 400 drivers out west.
Right.
And I'd say half of them are immigrants.
Gotcha.
That can drive good because out in Europe, it's the same tractor trailer, same air brakes, same transmissions, right? So there's not a big learning curve.
Right. No, it makes sense. And if you can help them get here, find a job, which is, you know, probably key to them staying here.
Yes, correct.
Right. Yeah. And you can kind of offer all that in one package. I mean, mm-hmm. that's a huge benefit to the driver, right? Mm-hmm. Which is mm-hmm. nice. And it gives you a larger pool to play from because mm-hmm. I think that's a challenge for a lot of fleets. It's where do I get, you know, drivers first and then good drivers, you know, on top of that, right? That mm-hmm. that becomes the biggest challenge.
That's the thing. Good drivers, professional drivers, right? We just don't want to hire someone that wants to make $30 an hour for a few years. And then like we want someone that can progress with the company.
No, makes sense. And yeah, and because you got contracts with companies too, right? So you want to make sure you get good drivers in because obviously there's a lot of referral. I'm mm-hmm. assuring that, you know, one company recommends what you do because it's sort of unique what you do, you know, in the industry to a certain extent because, you know, we see it with temp workers, you know, and like you said, we previously like warehouses, other mm-hmm. other areas, but not so much drivers. I know some companies dabble maybe, mm-hmm. but maybe not to the extent you guys really, you know, wrap your head around it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the key piece, right? You guys are an all-in-one yeah. supply, which is kind of nice because, again, if you're a company looking for a driver, you've taken all the risk,
mm-hmm.
right?
For sure, yeah.
So
that's
like,
right.
Yeah, no severance, benefits we talked about. You vetted everybody. So it's a huge piece to it there.
Like one thing, sorry if I cut you off, but criminal background checks, like we do that. Everyone comes in. We always do that because these guys are moving high-value freight, right?
Right.
So that's one thing that their recruiter doesn't worry about. Because before this, I worked for a fleet and I was a recruiter. It was so much work.
Right.
Looking at 100 resumes, interviewing 10 people, onboarding someone, hazmat training. Then the first week I would stay in touch with them. Like it's a lot that goes into it, right?
Yes. Yeah. So, no, it makes sense. So yeah, it's interesting. You've had a chance to do it. So you've kind of lived on both sides now, right?
Yeah, which is good. Yeah.
So you see the value of what you guys do. What, you know, from a recruiter point of view, like are you guys working with recruiters at companies or are you dealing with just like companies themselves?
So we'd like to join the corporation. We like to partner with the trucking company. Like I don't want to join someone and they fire their recruiter down the road. Like that's not what we're after, right? We just want to work with them, right? And then they every week we usually get an order of 1-2 drivers, 5 drivers.
Okay.
And then at that point, it's like a race. So I'm looking for people and their recruiter's looking for people, right?
Right.
And then in the end of the day, it's the best person that's onboarded, which is healthy, right? Because that's what the market's changed from now to 5 years ago. 5 years ago, we could hire a driver in a week. Now it's like sometimes we'll train the driver and then the day to start, he won't come.
Oh, geez.
And then I assume he joined another company for an extra couple of hours. Like this is a challenge that I've started to see today versus 5 years ago.
Yeah, I think you see it anything where, especially where there's an hourly piece to it, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, the cost of living in general is going up, right? As we speak now, inflation I think is over 8%. So, you know, there's a cost and people need to cover their costs. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. guys will look to jump potentially, you know, for, you know, a dollar or two more. But I think, you know, the nice part is how you've been in it long enough, you can probably sit down with those people and then look at the big picture, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You guys offer a longer term career, you know, with guaranteed jobs, you know, because if they were to partner with, you know, trucking company ABC and that company folds or gets bought out, they're out of a role where with you, you would just morph them into something else potentially.
Very good. Something better, hopefully.
Yeah. But at least they're not on their own, right? Mm-hmm. Which is good. But the trick is getting them to see, you know, the bigger picture, mm-hmm. right? For the long term game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Yeah, because having done the recruiting piece, I mean, it'd be interesting to you've actually lived both sides and see how it plays out.
Exactly.
Which is neat. So head office, where is it? Is it out west for head office for you guys?
Yeah, that's right. It's in Calgary.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're here in Mississauga for the Ontario piece, which makes sense.
Yeah, that's for sure. Part of it. Yeah, so. This market's significantly bigger than Alberta. So our goal is to pass Alberta in a few years.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, this is a huge market for it. And I guess the biggest trick is just finding drivers, right? And being able to, can you leverage the same program to bring guys into Ontario as you are in
No,
Alberta?
We're not there yet.
Okay.
Maybe in the future.
Gotcha. It makes sense, right? Because if it worked well in one location, might as well copy and paste.
Yeah, true. That's right. That's a good analogy.
And keep doing it. You know, as far as, you know, do you, is there any owner operators involved with what you guys do? Like any guys with their own equipment, or how does it work as far as the equipment side? Because you guys are providing the driver. What's happening?
Yeah, so we strictly just provide the drivers.
Okay.
We don't have owner operators.
Okay, so it's handled through your customer would coordinate with that part of it.
Yeah,
so,
they would. Yeah.
Okay, because I know a lot of the trick with the owner operators with this again is understanding the cost, right?
Mm-hmm. You
know,
you have rising cost,
fuel costs, especially delays at drop points. All that stuff.
So in my previous role, I spent time and I started looking at owner operators' pay and company drivers' pay.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, to be quite honest, I'd rather be a company driver, right? Like some of our company drivers, they knew they were in demand. So if their truck was in the shop for like 2 days, they would demand like pay me.
Right.
So they'd get paid sitting at home versus an owner operator. You know, they still have the truck payment. Yeah, they still have the repair. They still have the, like, parking, I understand, is like $400 a month. And you get, so it's like, it's changed. The owner-operator market's changed significantly. Yeah.
No, big time. And this is a way you can take probably an owner-operator and transition them a bit, right? Because, they're not working directly for the company, working for you guys.
Yeah.
But, kind of has that kind of entrepreneurial spirit still, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are growing this, especially here in Ontario, right? So you can be part of something that grows, which is kind of neat. But yeah, I think you're right with being protected from the rising costs that you have zero visibility to, or any ability to control is huge, I think, for these guys. So, and especially for your customers too, right? You know, they've got a dedicated guy can do what they need to do. So, no, it's interesting. It's a very cool strategy, a very cool way of getting, of helping to fill that driver void, which we know is all there.
Right? Yeah, true. It's so I've been speaking to a few of my veteran friends and they said this, people have always talked about it, but now it's like we're behind the curve now. It's like, oh, shoot. Yeah. If we can turn back time 10 years, whatever.
Yeah. If you could start it as a handful of years ago, you'd be laughing. But I mean, it's going, right? And like you said, you've proven the model, especially in Alberta, which is nice. Like you said, with over 400 drivers on staff. So you've proven there's a demand for it.
Yes.
You've proven that you can get drivers, which is nice. And now it's just a matter of, you said, working the Ontario market, which I think we, guys definitely need, right? Because guys are struggling to find drivers.
Yeah.
So the method you're able to bring them in and bring them on board, I think is huge. And we'll, at the end of the day, just help keep freight moving for,
yeah,
for everybody.
For sure.
Which is great. So excellent. Hey, look, I want to thank you for stopping by and taking a few minutes to explain the company. Let everyone know what it is. How can they find out more about the company if they're looking to get involved either way as a customer or as a driver?
You can just Google us at Tag Logistics Corporation. And there's all a bunch of information. My number's there. Our email's there.
Excellent. All right. Well, definitely have them check it out and learn a bit more about you from beyond what we've talked about today. So, look, this concludes today's episode. So I do want to thank Emmett from Tag Logistics Corporation for joining us. And to catch up on past episodes, check out transportationexchangepodcast.ca. And until next time, thanks for listening.